Today we're going to be talking about one of the greatest tzaddikim, from the greatest of the Malchi Beis David that existed until Bias HaMashiach, and that is the Navi, that is the Melech Hizkiyo HaMelech. We mentioned that his father, Ochoz, was a Rosh Merusha, and he actually has a son, Menashe, who also doesn't go in his way. But Chizkiah himself, the Navi tells us that there weren't many kings before or after him that come to the level of Chizkiah. Just considering the fact that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasis Chizkiah Mashiach, that the Eibishter wanted to make Chizkiah Mashiach, that itself shows the greatness of the tzaddik that we are talking about. So let's learn a little bit today about the very, very amazing life of Chizkiyo HaMelech. As we mentioned in our previous shir, he inherits from his father, the Rosh HaOchoz, a Klal Yisrael and an Eretz Yisrael that is on one of its lowest points in Jewish history. We're talking about that the Aseres HaShvatim are starting to be taken away. Tiglat, please, others, there's already a Chalishus in the Aseres HaShvatim. There's a tremendous Yerida Ruchnius in Malchus Beis David and the Yehuda. His father brought Avodah Zorah Mamish all over the territory. Mamish made a Mizbeach for in the Beis HaMikdash, not the way the Eibishter wants. I mean, you're talking about the lowest of the low. Chizkiah, the first thing he did was he had to be mitaher, the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, he made sure, first of all, he became king at when he was 25 years old. And the first thing he did was reestablish the Halakite of the Beis HaMikdash. In his words, "Ato hiskachu v'kachu es beis Hashem elekiya v'iseichem v'itziu es anido min hakodesh." Take away all the impurities from the Beis HaMikdash. After cleansing the Beis HaMikdash from all the impurities in Eretz Yisrael, he also destroys the bamos, all these different places they were makriv karbonos and avodah zarah. And he does something that was very fascinating, that until then, the Yidden had the Moshe Rabbeinu, he made the copper snake that the Yidden should dive into the Eibishter. It was a simen, but unfortunately became a symbol also of the Zorah. People started serving that. The previous Melochim, being that it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and being that they had a certain attachment to it, they didn't want to destroy. He got rid of this inyan as well. Anything that had to do with Avodah Zorah, Chizkiah wanted to get rid of. And obviously, after such a purification process, as well as fixing any corruption that there was in the Kehanim and anything else, you could understand that it was a big work, and the Eibishter was very happy. In addition, he tried as much as possible to bridge the gap between the Malchus Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim, and the Beis Shvatim. The Navi tells us, "Vayishlach Yechizkiyah al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda igrois kosev al Ephraim u'Menashe." Pesach was coming, and he wanted all of Klal Yisrael to be in the Beis HaMikdash. That's Oil Regel's the mitzvah for everybody. Pashit invited, after years and years of the Aseres HaShvatim, so to speak, boycotting the Beis HaMikdash, he invites them to join the Yom Tov in the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens is, here's one thing where the Chachamim got a little bit upset, is that pretty much he, in order to do it properly, and he wanted to make a bigger, you know, it should be done right, what he felt, his advisors told him to make Pesach Sheni, like push it off a month. And he followed it because they couldn't, they weren't yet ready. He felt it would be better for the matzev if it was done by Pesach Sheni. At the end, Eibishter wasn't so happy with that, but the idea is that he did get many, many people to come, and there was a huge, huge celebration the first time that other Shvatim and other people were joining. Not so many, but there were, and that itself brought a certain achtos to Klal Yisrael. Ve'yosvu Yerushalayim Am Rav Lasis Chagamatzis B'chodesh Hasheni Kol Arov Moed. I mean, they had a big crowd, which was tremendous. So now on a Ruchniyazdik level, the Klal Yisrael was getting stronger. Now came a little bit of trouble. And that trouble came from Sancheirev. Sancheirev was the king of Ashur, and he inherited the throne from his father, and he decided that he set his sights on Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. By then, the Aseres HaShvatim were very weak, and there was the two Shvatim which were stronger. And he comes to Yerushalayim. So Chizkiyahu, the first thing he wanted to do was make peace with him. So he sent him. Money. And there's another thing, Chamim got a little bit upset. He sent him at the beginning the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. Like, he really wanted to get him off his back. But he was the real Rosh Sancheirev. And he took the money and he said he would leave. But then he reinstigated a war, because certain people, they just want war. And now it was very scary. What happened was that by that time, Chizkiyahu had set up a special well water that the water can come. This way they couldn't cut it off. But they didn't know what to do. And Sancheirev sent messengers basically saying, don't listen to your king Chizkiyahu, it's suicide. Like, just give in to me, I'll take care of you guys. Like, he really, really tried to backstab, but it didn't work. And Bekitzer, we know what happens at the end, that the Eibishter made a very, very special nace. Chizkiyahu said, I'm going to go to sleep, and the Eibishter will take care of full emunah. And that night, in one night, Eibishter killed like 180,000 soldiers of Sancheirev. It was a big bizoyan, and it was such an embarrassment that later on, Sancheirev is actually assassinated by his own men. But the idea is that the Eibishter performs the big miracle, and because of the righteousness of Chizkiyahu. Then Chizkiyahu gets sick. And seemingly there was nothing to do. But he went to Davin, but to the Navi, and after davening, the Navi said that your tefillahs were heard, and one of the issues they say is that Chizkiyahu did not want to have children, because he said that he had nevuah that his son would be a Rasha, Menashe, so why should he have children? And the Navi basically explained to him that you can't decide what's the fate of the future. You have a mitzvah for yourself, you have to do what you need to do. Don't say what my kids will and won't do. You have to do what you need to do. And the Eibishter made a special ness that Chizkiyahu got better. And when he recovered, it was a big simcha, sigh for Yidin. And also the Goyim came, and they sent delegations to see how, you know, to show how much they appreciate Chizkiyahu. There was another small thing that what happened was that Chizkiyahu was showing some of these princes his vast wealth that he amassed, which they went back and gave reports to their parents or the kings that it's worth fighting, trying to get, because you don't know what treasures the Melech Yehuda has. But either way, at that point, again, unfortunately, the trouble was once again, the Eibishter saw in the Yidin their behavior, that things were going to turn bad and there was going to be a churban and a destruction, but not in the lifetime of Chizkiyahu. So Chizkiyahu passes away with relative peace, and then his son Menashe takes over, and that will, Mitzvah Hashem, discuss in the coming shir.